When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, it's me, Julia. Today's episode is beyond great. Rory Uphold is a podcast host and all-around wonderful human. On this episode, we chat about dating, learning to love yourself, why it's odd that there aren't repercussions for someone breaking your heart, and so much more. You are going to love this one, and if you do, I'd love it if you could go rate and review the podcast in Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. It helps grow the podcast, and I would be so grateful. Love you all. Here's Rory. I am so excited to chat with today's guest. I feel like I've known her for a really long time, but I've only known her for a few weeks. She is a writer and the host of the Crimes of the Heart podcast, Rory Uphold. Welcome to Pretty Much Done.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Also, I feel the same way.
It's so weird.
I text you and I'm like, oh, that's right. I just met this person.
I know. Like, I told you I wanted to connect you with someone. I'm like, introducing you to an old friend, Rory.
Well, I don't know. I feel like, I mean, not to jump ahead, but I think once you pass your 20s, like if you meet somebody in your 30s and you know you like them, at that point, I feel like I've sort of weeded through enough people that I do kind of feel like my, I don't want to say picker. I was literally trying to figure out anything other than the word picker because I hate that, but it's like finely tuned, especially for friends. Maybe not so much for guys, but.
I know. I'm so good at meeting friends, but I'm not so great at meeting a boyfriend.
Yet.
Yeah, we can chat about all of that. But, you know, I was like writing this outline and I was laughing to myself that when we finished filming the episode that I'm doing on your podcast, I was like, do you do this full time? And you were like, oh God, no. And I was laughing to myself because, like, you know, I'm trying to. And I'm just curious how this podcast started for you. How does like a girl who's a writer start a, you know, true crime kind of dating podcast?
Well, I've always thought about the fact that it's crazy to me that if I hit you with my car, I'm probably going to go to jail. I mean, I guess it depends on what happens to you. But like, even if I take the mirror off of your car, there's recourse, right? If I punch you in the face, like that's assault. But if we date, and I cheat on you for years and years, and I gaslight you, and then I break your heart, you're just supposed to like walk away and get over it. There's no recourse. There's nothing. So you can break a person's heart, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. And so I thought, well, because I've been through so many heartbreaks, like I wanted to create a place, at least online, where we could talk about it and have catharsis, but also laugh at it. Because I think like for me, I work in comedy. I'm a writer, as you said, and there's something really freeing about taking the darkness and putting it in the light. Like there's like, it eradicates shame. And then also if you can laugh at it, you can realize like, you know what, maybe some of the worst things that have ever happened to me can also bring levity or bond me with other people or propel me into that next iteration of who I'm supposed to be. It's just because otherwise it gets too heavy. You know what I mean? Like it drags a person down. And then in terms of like why the crime element, like I take kind of nightmare dating, breakup, relationship stories and turn them into true crime inspired reenactments. So for example, I just finished one. It hasn't aired yet, but a girl gave a kidney to her boyfriend. And then 7 months later, he cheated on her with that kidney in his body.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So like, that's the level of like, you know, there's some pretty wild quote unquote crimes. And then obviously I talked to experts and people in like the dating industry, because it's just, it's a mishmash, and I've been talking for a really long time, but I think that I have always been really inspired by relationships and really inspired by love. And I just wanted to talk about it. So I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to start a podcast.
Yeah. It's so interesting, that point about there being no recourse. It's true. It's, and if, let's say, someone decides to individually take recourse, you become labeled as a crazy person. You know, you're like, yeah, like you're stalking your ex's Instagram to look at his following, and people are like, stop being crazy, stop obsessing. But you're like, I had no closure. Like, my heart was ripped out of my chest. And now, yeah, this is what I'm obsessing over. Do I feel great about it? No, but why are you shaming me after I was just broken up with in a cruel way?
For sure. And I think that, like, in that specific instance that you just outlined, like, we don't know how much self-confidence and self-respect was slowly chipped away bit by bit. Maybe she settled in the first place with this guy, and then this guy turned around and did her dirty. I'm just making it a woman. And so she feels even worse about herself. And that person has definitely been me. And I get a lot of women, predominantly women, I do get men too, writing in wanting to share their stories simply because they want to, one, unburden themselves of it, and two, share it so that other people know you're not alone. And I think it's really powerful to go, okay, it's not me. Like, I might be hurt, but I'm not broken. I might be down, but I'm not out, you know? And it's, yeah, it's, I do think that, like, as we've become more digital as a society, it's become easier and easier to hurt people without, like, thinking twice about it. Like, just the phenomenon of ghosting. Like, that's so shitty. I don't do it because I try to lead by example, even if that means like taking the higher road or taking the L's or being the first one to be vulnerable or whatever. Like, I try to lead by example because I had a guest once say, leave people better than you found them. And if we were all focused on leaving people better than we found them, I do think that the dating culture would be totally different.
What do you think it is at the root of it? Because I've even, you know, I had a scenario recently that I didn't feel like great about. So I hopped on a call with a guy that I met on a dating app. We were going to have a date, and I ended up seeing him out at a bar, and he came up to me, and I was not attracted to him in person. He was very different for me. It was like a different vibe. And I was like, I need to cancel this date. How do I do this without making him feel really badly? Because he had the courage to come up to me. And I think that that example of like, I wanted to ghost, I sure did, in order to not hurt his feelings. But what do you think is at the root of like, why? Do you think we're just afraid to hurt people's feelings, and so we've become cowardly?
Yeah, I do. I think it's a little deeper than that. I think it goes back to communication, and I think it goes back to vulnerability. And so much of our lives are curated, which is, focusing on curation is not the same as focusing on communication. And also, one is real and vulnerable and ugly and rough around the edges and honest, and the other one is perfect and polished. And the thing is that when we hold ourselves to this like perfect polished standard, we'll never meet it, right? So we're inherently always going to feel bad. So I think like we're, as a society, like not practicing communication. I think also instant gratification is a huge thing. A lot of us don't really know how to have delayed gratification and to also like take losses, like mourn losses. It's not something we've been taught. Like, I don't know, were you ever taught how to get over a breakup? Because I wasn't.
No, no. That's why I'm 30 years old with a dating podcast.
But so there's some of these things that, like, how do you metabolize loss? How do you metabolize rejection, right? And so it's so much easier if we can just pivot and avoid and not deal with it. It is awkward to say, you know, you can go the route of being honest or you can go the route of lying. Like, if it were me, I probably would have been like, hey, you're awesome. I feel more of a friendship connection. instead of like focusing on I'm not attracted to you, I would highlight a positive attribute that also says I don't feel the romantic connection. So it's like, hey, it was so great running into you. In truth, like I felt more of a friend vibe, which is kind of a curveball. But if you ever wanted to like hang as homies, like I would be down. No hard feelings either way. Something like that. You know, or you can do what I always do, which is like lie. And I just say, I recently reconnected with an ex and I need to see where it goes. Something to that effect. I do that because you can't argue with the past. You can't be competitive with the past. Like in present, you might just be like, oh, maybe this guy's hotter than me, or maybe this girl's hotter than me, or maybe, you know, there was somebody else that's better. And then your personal inner like hate monologue spirals. And you're like, oh, it's because I'm insert whatever terrible thing you think about yourself. But if it's like, I got back together with my ex, well, you can't fight history.
Yeah. I mean, I was like afraid because like, I live in Austin, you live in LA.
You're afraid you're going to run into him.
Totally. But I lied. Just so you know, I lied. I said I was feeling under the weather and let's reconvene. He was like taking a trip and we never ended up reconvening. So like, I feel like I'm perpetuating this flakiness in people.
No, you canceled.
Yes, I canceled.
Yeah. And if he was really gung-ho about it, he could have followed up. Maybe he's a little more intuitive than we thought. And look, it's okay to not be attracted to someone. And the one thing I will tell you is a guy wouldn't think twice about it. They prioritize attraction and they're never going to compromise on that. So I don't think women should.
Yeah. I do think that to your point of leaving people better than you found them, I think if you've had a connection with someone like this, I hadn't had a date with him, right? But if you're more invested with someone, you should leave them better than you found. Like you should give feedback. You should not ghost. I think like ghosting is not great behavior.
No, small dick energy.
Small dick energy. That being a motivating factor is great. Speaking of like you were like, I've always been interested in relationships and like, you know, figuring them out. Me too. I feel like I'm like a certified lover girl. Like, I don't know if you feel that way, but boiling it down to like where it started for you, do you know like why?
For sure. I mean, my parents have like a fairy tale romance relationship. So I lived with the rom-coms that I saw perpetuated all around me. So it was like, I grew up and culture was telling me, you know, this is what love looks like. And then my parents had it. So I also saw that emulated in my household. I don't know if I told you this, but like my parents met, they were engaged after 2 months. They're still together. On my parents' 25th wedding anniversary, my dad flew in, my entire mom's family got down on one knee, didn't tell us, and re-proposed with a ring that was twice the size and asked for another 25 years of marriage.
Oh my God, I have the chills.
I know. He randomly brings flowers for her. He gave my mom a salary. Like my mom, when she decided to quit her job, he was like, my dad's very forward. It's weird because it's like traditional, but like so traditional, it's non-traditional. So my mom like got paid to be a mom, which meant that she was never trapped financially. She was never, I think what's really scary about stay-at-home moms these days is that they become financially dependent on their husbands. And that, I don't know, it seems really scary. And that was just not the case with my mom or my dad. And so I grew up really feeling like I had two parents who were both equals. And also the love that I got from them and the love that I saw between them, I was like, whoa, this is wild. It's really unconditional. And I then went through my life and experienced a lot of love that wasn't unconditional. And so I was very confused by that. And I got hurt a lot at first by friends, like by women. And those friendship breakups like almost hurt worse than the romantic relationships, if I'm being honest. But it's been like a fascinating journey. And then I think I'm just really curious. Like I never wanted to miss out. Like I wanted to experience stories. You know, I've hopped on airplanes for first dates plenty of times. I've been flown out to things. I've Yeah, I've done a lot of crazy shit, but that's also part of it was like, I don't think I'm going to marry this person or this is like my guy. Like my focus was never like, I need to find the person that I'm going to marry and spend the rest of my life with. It was like, I just want to see what dating this kind of person would be like. Like sometimes it's like putting on different colored shirts. It's like, okay, I'm going to go preppy or I'm going to go goth or I'm going to go whatever. And even though I only wear black every day, all day and have for the last like decade, I feel like that's how people are with their wardrobes. And that's kind of like how I am with relationships. Like, I'm like, oh, I'm going to step into this life and this feeling and see what this is like.
It's so interesting because I feel like a psychologist or I'm sure you've had experts on who have talked about how like your attachment styles are based on like your relationship with your parents or the relationship you saw with your parents. And I almost think that you can't really boil it down. I almost think that like we kind of are programmed. Like I think you and I were meant to walk this path where we talk about dating, where we date, where we're curious about dating. Like it wasn't in the cards for us to get married at 22. It just wasn't. But it's interesting because you're either damned if you do and you're damned if you don't.
So I thought I was going to. I was in a really like serious relationship and that's the person who – so I feel like I was always really securely attached. And then I met this person whose last name was Wright, which is hilarious because he was Mr. Wrong. But I thought I was going to marry Mr. Wright, literally. And I remember 2 weeks before he dumped me on the phone. This is a person that like – I mean, we had talked about the outline of us getting married. It was in April. We had tickets to Africa in December. Like he was a part of not just my relationship, but like our families. He was family. It was a really hard loss for my dad too when we broke up, like especially because of the way that he did it, which is that 164 days later, I found out about his engagement or his post about his girlfriend. Like they were celebrating their 1 year anniversary, which was a day before he had broken up with me on the phone and then like refused to ever speak to me again. It was really, really, really traumatic. And that was the birth of my anxious attachment style. And I also think it's the reason why I was cheated on again in the future because we seek out things that are familiar. And So anyway, I was driving to his mom's surprise 60th birthday party, which he insisted my entire family go to, which is a wild thing to do if you know you're cheating on your girlfriend. But there we were. And I remember having a conversation with my dad in the car. And I said to him, I was like, you know, it's just so weird. I never thought I was going to get married young. And I'm like, but I guess this is my path. Like I can't ever picture my life without him and I don't want to. And like, I'm absolutely choosing this, but it is weird because intuitively and instinctually, I just always thought I was going to get married later. And 2 weeks later, the universe was like, ha ha, bitch, you were right.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I remember having a moment, my boyfriend that I dated for 4 years, who was like part of my family, first boyfriend, first love, all of that. When I broke up with him, I broke his heart. I remember thinking like, karma's going to fuck me up with dating. Like I know it. And I was, you know, I was 19 and here I am at 30. And trust me, karma fucked me up with dating. And it's fine. That was the path I was willing, needed to walk. And I'm fine with it. But like, it's just funny that intuitively, you know, you're like, yep, I'm going to be older. And here we are, two single girls.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. But I don't really mind it. I mean, I know that that's sounds crazy. And like, I do want to meet someone, but it's not like I want to meet someone. I meet people all the time. I mean, I don't know if I need to like necessarily say the number of my roster, but it's plural. So meeting people is not my problem. It's meeting somebody that I want to like build and grow and spend either a large swath of the rest of my life with or the rest of my life with. I think that my like idea of relationships has become a lot more fluid, and I've realized that I'm actually totally okay and happy being single and on my own. And so now it's not about finding someone, it's about finding the right person. And that is totally different. And it's a process, and I think it's slower, and I'm way more discerning.
Yeah. As you're speaking, I'm thinking you interviewed one of my good friends, Amanda, and she came on my podcast as well. And she talked about how, I don't know if you guys talked about this on your podcast, but she talks about how she realizes that people are maybe there for you in seasons of your life. And she kind of opened my eyes to that. And I feel like the reason why this decision to find someone, to find a soulmate, to find someone to spend the rest of your life with is so hard is because you are putting them against the rest of my life. Like, this is a really hard decision to make if you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone. And I almost think that if you approach it from that point of view where you're like, a good chunk of my life, I just want to like kind of enjoy my time with this person, it makes the decision less hard. But I don't know, like as a hopeless romantic, maybe you don't want to think in that way.
Well, I think that some of my most successful relationships are with people I broke up with, but I still have friendships with. I know that's pretty controversial. People are like, don't be friends with your exes. And I'm like, but I am. So sorry. And they're some really beneficial relationships. You know, these are men that knew me really, really well, and we loved each other. And I don't understand why we can't be there for each other. Respectfully, like, they all have kids now, and I get along with their families. This is not like a weird, creepy thing, but we shared our lives for a period of time, and I just don't understand why that has to end. It ended in the iteration that it was. We've now morphed those relationships into something else. And yeah, I feel really, really grateful for that. And to me, that's a success. I think if you are able to co-parent a child, that's a success. Like, we need to stop shaming divorce breakups, because I think it's really brave to say, I want more. I think it's really brave to realize that you're in something that isn't working for you and actually take the action and the steps and then follow through on that to advocate for yourself and get out of something. That's brave. It's a lot easier to stay in something, which I've totally done, just because you want to avoid the hassle, the heartache, the whatever.
The societal noise saying you are a divorcee.
Yes. Yeah. No, I think it's badass. I mean, yeah, that's the hill I'll die on. Well, it's one of them.
I'm with you on that hill, honestly. I mean, sometimes I have to ask myself, like, what function is this serving me to, like, be friends with an ex? So first, I think both people have to be on board. The significant others kind of have to be on board. But sometimes I'm like, is this for validation, or is this truly because I care about the person? And I think that the validation territory is the scary one, where you're like, okay, I need to like not be seeking validation from my ex. But I love these people. I'm so grateful to them. One of my ex-boyfriends, who I think his girlfriend's not comfortable with us staying friends, he like healed me. He was like so spiritual and so wonderful. I'm so grateful to have dated him. And so I think that to throw people away and discard them, I'm with you. I'm on the same page as you, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, the relationships where those are men that it just didn't work out. It's not like anyone did something wrong. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody does something shitty, I don't want them in my life, because that's not the kind of life that I've curated for myself. Like, I don't keep people around me like that. So it would make sense that they would not have the privilege of access to me, which is truly how I look at it. But for those exes where it kind of fizzled out, or we realized we wanted different things, or like my last one, he wanted to have a baby. And I was like, oh, I don't want that. Like, not right now. No. And guess what? He has a baby with his baby mama, and they're very happy, and she's awesome. And I think it's also really obvious that I am not a threat, because I'm not, you know, but I'm there for them when they have had any, like when they've ever needed anything, like I'll show up, because I'm also her friend now too. You know what I mean? Like, it's, I love them as a family. Yeah. I don't know.
I think that's wonderful. You mentioned your roster. I love that you have one. Amazing. I was trying to like date multiple people when I first moved here as well. I like it for me because I like don't like putting all my eggs in one basket because I'm very much like romanticized one person at a time. I will say it gets a little exhausting. You're like, didn't I tell you that story? And you kind of tell on yourself. How are you meeting the roster? Because I feel like any girly listening to this is going to need tangible advice.
Is going to want to know. Yeah. So part of it's IRL and part of it is field. I know. We've talked about field because like I like it as an app. It's, you know, a kink app or however it started is not 100% what it is now. And to me, I just think people are more transparent. They're more honest. You're getting the authentic version. You can see the same profile on Raya, Hinge, whatever. And then you can see them on field and you can be like, wait a second. Like they're ethically non-monogamous or they're only looking for casual hookups. Like, but their profiles on these other apps do not give any indication of that. Or, you know, that's also in reverse. Like then you see people that are like, I'm looking for something serious. Like I'm looking for something long-term. And for me, I can't be celibate while I'm searching. I understand that that is something that like is going to be very individualized for every person. Not everybody can like casually, I'll say date, casually hang out. I can. I sort of like need that or I'll go a little crazy. In person, I mean, I feel like I meet people at parties, weddings, just out and about, like just randomly talking to people. Guys come up to me. Yeah, I think it's like an energy. You know, when you go out, are you in your phone? Are you looking around, surveying the room? Are you like switching through your phone, trying to text your friend, be like, when are you getting here? Like, what are you doing? Are you closed off reading a book or are you just kind of taking in the environment? Are you talking to random people just all the time? Like if I have a thought, I probably just say it, which is both good and bad. But I'm like, oh my God, that's such a cute dog. And I've already said it. Like I think it and I say it at the same time. Or like, oh my God, those shoes are sick. And so then sometimes people strike up a conversation back. Sometimes they don't. And it's kind of like that. Like I just meet people that way. And then yeah. My friends are now doing this thing where we're like, if he's not good for me, maybe he's good for you. And so we'll also like pass people around.
I don't mind that at all. Honestly, I totally don't mind that. I actually did that with a friend recently, but then it's like, if they don't work out, you're like, oh, darn. Like, you know, you feel kind of like responsible for it.
That's true. Yeah. Like, yeah, that is a, yeah. I can't say that that's like the number one way I'm meeting people, but it is a way for sure. But I will tell you this, I'm going to keep it really vague. God forbid any of them listen to this, but I did meet someone recently, not the person you're thinking of, someone else who made me go, oh, I'm not interested in anyone else. And it got really scary. Not like actually scary, but you know what I mean? Like I was like, oh no. Like, I like this person. I could see a future with this person. And that I really haven't felt that way in a long time.
I think we spoke about this. I don't know if we spoke about this, but like, that is the worst feeling because you're like, shit.
Yes, yes, yes. Because you saw me after a different date.
Okay, it was different. Okay, okay.
Yeah. And you were like, oh, you have a crush. That's like the worst. And we were like laughing about how like it's so exciting to have a crush. And then the immediate next feeling is like, well, shit. You know, like this is also like the dread of having a crush. And yeah, this is someone else. It's really weird. I do feel like when it rains, it pours. I think for me, it's mostly just like when I decide, okay, like I'm opening up my life. Like I'm ready to like take in dates and I put like a little bit of effort, a lot comes back because for so long, I really wasn't.
Yeah. Well, I did this thing last week where I was like, I'm relying too much on dating apps. Like I downloaded Hinge, I downloaded Bumble. I'm like, no, bitch. Like, so I deleted them, but like in my head, I'm like, it's a pause right now. And so yesterday I was like, go take yourself out and you're going to have to strike up conversation with someone. Like, cause I've been getting in my head. I've been getting real social anxiety when I go out lately. And that's so weird for me. I'm usually so fun, so flirty. I think it's because I'm in a new place and I'm a little out of my element. But I force myself and I record a TikTok video and I was like, this is going to keep me accountable because I have to tell the girlies how I did it. And I met someone.
Oh, shit.
And we have a date tonight. Yeah. How crazy.
Yes. It's not crazy. It's pretty normal.
Yeah, but that's what happens. That's what happens. And you're so right about the not looking at your phone. I could feel myself like wanting to, like social anxiety. I'm like, don't do it. You have to talk to someone. And I was like, even if it's low pressure and I'm talking to a woman and I'm giving her a compliment on her outfit, just like you mentioned, like just strike conversation because we are closing ourselves out off so much more than we realize. I'm closing myself off by just relying on dating apps. I'm closing myself off by being on my phone. I'm closing myself off by being at home all the time. You know, like it's just opening yourself up.
It's like growth mentality, yes mentality, and not just to this like part of your life that is potential romance. It's to your whole life. You know, like if you get asked to go on some like last minute weekend trip that's like really exciting, are you the type of person that says, yeah, fuck yeah, like you only live once? Or are you like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to be tired for Monday. And look, I'm generalizing, right? Like if you're an ER doctor, maybe you don't want to be tired for Monday, but whatever. Yeah, I think it's like leaning more into that like Oprah's year of yes vibe and seeing where it takes you. But I had to have a, like a little pep talk with myself yesterday because I found myself spiraling a little. And then I was like, I'm sorry, what is happening? Like, who the fuck do you think you are? And I had to remember who the fuck I am. And I was like, no, you're a bad bitch.
How many dates has it been?
It's been less than 3.
Yeah, that's hard. So hard. If 3 go, but if like 2 to 3 go well, you're like, shit.
The whole thing is like a nightmare because when you meet somebody who is like, okay, I'm going to talk about this, but it's not about him specifically. I'm going to generalize it so that, because again, like God forbid he were to hear me talking about him on a podcast, I would just have to murder Suey myself, both at myself. Anyway, like when you meet somebody and they're like perfect on paper and then you meet them in real life and you're like, oh no, they also seem perfect in real life. The operative word being seem, right? Seem. I don't know this person. I'm collecting little clues and facts that are supporting what I think, but like I don't actually know this person. And then being really excited and then the immediate of like, oh my God, what if it doesn't work out? Or like, what if he's not looking for something? Or, you know, what if he's also dating other people? Or any kind of negative thing that you can think. It's like, well, one, why are you doing that? Worrying is just wishing for what you don't want. So why are you doing that? And then two, it's an opportunity to go like, okay, where are the insecurities hiding? Because if it's, what if he doesn't want something, that's very different than what if I'm not good enough? And that gives you like information on where to like shine the light, focus, give yourself extra love. And it's like, well, if he's not looking for something, then he's not my fucking guy. Like, period, end of story. I'm not trying to sit here and convince somebody to like me. That's insane. And I don't do that in any other aspect of my life. And today is not going to be the day that I start doing it in my romantic life. Do you know what I mean? And if I feel like, oh my God, I'm not good enough, well, then it's like, well, first of all, then you aren't. Like, you get to decide your own reality. So it was just kind of, I think it was like really helpful for me to catch myself slipping and really stop. I was like driving in the car to dinner on the way with friends, like actually talking out loud to myself like a full-on crazy person. I was like, Rory, I'm really disappointed in you. I thought you were better than this. I thought you'd grown more. You know what I mean? And then like really was like, okay, well, what is it? Let's like talk about the fear. Let's talk about the insecurity. Like, what is it? And I do think when you say it out loud and you get really specific and then you sit with it and you're like, okay, but like, what is it that you want? Like, just because somebody seems a certain way, that's not reality. And the reality is if a person isn't like making you a priority or they're not chasing you or they don't think you're wonderful, why are we giving them power?
Yeah. I was going to say, it's like, you're taking that power back, but my mindset, and like, I think I can do this because I'm not in it. But like objectively as someone who's like your friend looking outward, I'm like, don't, going back to what we said, don't call it in. Like, don't call it in that he is not ready for something serious. You're literally calling it in. Let's be DeLulu. Let's be like, he's actually so ready for something serious. Like, we'll deal with the repercussions later.
Or maybe never, you know, like I fully agree. And so it was really weird. I mean, it was brief and I feel fine now, but I do think I mean, I got excited because I was like, oh, cool. I haven't experienced this feeling in a minute. And I do think it'll help me relate to other people better, like, because I'm going through it right now. And so now I'm able to like actually stop in real time and then be like, okay, like let's hyper-focus. You could write about it. So maybe you can like help other people. But you're right. Yeah. Worrying is just wishing for what you don't want. You do not need to be manifesting the negative. Knock that the fuck off.
Yes. That's why like the spiritual woo-woo girlies are winning right now, because it works. Like that is a better mentality than spiraling deep in your like negative thought spirals.
It's also just a lot. I think it's a lot nicer to live your life thinking that you're the shit or that you're just good and decent and that things are going to work out for you. And then when they don't work out for you, believing like, well, actually this is all for the greater good. It's like, I'm like a little pebble or like a little piece of carbon that is being compressed and shaped into the diamond that I am. You know what I mean? Like all of rejection is protection. Things are working for me, not like against me. You know, it's happening for me, not to me. All of those things. I know your favorite phrase, like what's meant for you won't miss you. Like, yeah, I don't know. I believe in all of that too. And I think it's just a more positive and nicer way to live.
Absolutely. But can I tell you why you got so excited? I mean, I don't want to be this negative girly, but like dating in LA is freaking hard. LA is hard. And I want your thoughts on like, do you think that, I think everyone says their city's hard. I moved here and I got some TikTok served to me and it was like, Austin is the second worst city to date in.
LA is the worst. Number one.
LA for sure, right?
For fucking sure. Yes. It is the absolute worst city in the entire world, not just the United States, the entire world to date.
Why do you think?
Well, you have everyone and their mom trying to make it in LA. And then you have all of these weird barometers for success and validation that you don't have in Austin. Like how many people in Austin are walking around wondering if you have a blue check mark next to your Instagram or your TikTok? How many people are like obsessed with fame? How many pageant winners, prom queens, models are walking around Austin? I mean, maybe a lot, but LA has all of the prettiest people from all of the small towns and big cities that aren't LA that are moving out here trying to quote unquote make it big. It breeds really bad behavior. And also like there's a toxic culture from Hollywood that emanates out. So I think, yeah, of course, this is not, I don't think it's a bold statement to say it's like the worst city to date in.
Yeah. What people say about Austin, and I was like, that's LA, is people say that the men here have Peter Pan syndrome, which I can see. Like, I understand it's a college city. So the thing that men get to do is they get a new crop of 24-year-olds. Like, we get weeded away because we stop attending the bars and the nightclubs. And they're like, okay, the 30-year-olds are home with their cats. And like, we get the 24-year-olds with more collagen in their faces. I think LA has that too, though, because you have the like successful men who are 45 and divorced also going out to the clubs.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like a normal part of that version of the nightlife where you go to nightclubs in LA. Then yes, that's totally standard. But I also think the like young, hot woman with the older, rich man is a dynamic that we see a lot in LA that's also perpetuated a lot in media. And one thing that excites me about like what's happened recently is that women are finally speaking out and being like, one, this is not a flex. It's a self-own. And two, like from both sides, like I've talked to, and by the way, I was that girl that dated a guy that was like 12 years older than me when I was like 18, 19, 20, you know, in that range. And I thought, oh yeah, it's because I'm mature. It's like, no, that wasn't it. That was definitely not it. And that relationship wasn't bad. It's just like that also wasn't cool on both of our parts. And I've since talked to him about it because he's one of the guys that I'm friends with. And he's like, yeah, that I sometimes feel a little weird about that. I'm like, that makes sense. It makes sense. You know, my prefrontal cortex was like not even remotely close to being developed. And he was a full-blown adult.
Yeah. I think unfortunately, again, I'm generalizing, but I do think men want to feel high and mighty, and like a 20-year-old is going to do that because you have a certain financial status. Whereas a 30-year-old, I saw this, I don't know if you saw this, I saw an Instagram reel like served to me, but it was like, going out on a date with a 30-year-old and it's like, you're not going to sleep with me. I don't care. I don't care about shit that you do. And it's like, we are so much like, none of that is a flex, sir. Whereas a 20-year-old might think that those are flexes.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, gosh, I don't know. It really like, it's so individualized. And I do think with some of this, I hate speaking in terms of like broad generalizations because yeah, it is like so person to person. Like I know a guy who dates younger women and it's because he was like a nerd when he was younger and he never had a chance to do it. So now he's getting to like live that out. And I've talked to him about it and I'm like, I think it's fucking weird. And he's like, yeah, I know, but like, it's also this thing. And that makes me feel like it's like humanizes it a little bit more. I think some guys feel like lost and they don't feel like they are more of a provider for younger women who have lower expectations than somebody maybe their own age. Yeah, it's an interesting time. But I still believe that there is like a ton of great men out there and I'm just going to stick to that DeLulu.
Perfect. You know what I wanted to do with you? I wanted to ask you like your thoughts on a couple dating theories and like most of them are Tinksy. Like I follow her. I'm in her wheelhouse. I'm curious what she's been saying, and this is kind of getting traction. She's been saying, she said on like the Comments by Celebs podcast, she said that she dates in other cities. Like she goes on first dates when she's traveling and it's like a great method for her. What do you think about it?
Well, I think that she has a lot of money. I mean, I think that that's like a really privileged perspective because the distance won't matter to her. And I think that that's not realistic for the majority of people in the United States. So I think that that's a statement I would be careful to make because she's maybe not aware of like how of the privilege of travel. And then also to be able to be like, yeah, well, if I hit it off with this guy in Chicago, we'll just make it work. Or this guy in New York, because I'm always in New York and I'm in LA. And that's part of being an influencer, but it's also part of being wealthy, which she is and was and is even more now. I think that one thing that people do is like, there's definitely a travel energy that people have when they're dating. And I think bringing that into where you live is good. Because like, why is it that things always just seem to like work out and they're more magical when you meet somebody and you're traveling? It's a mindset thing.
Yeah. I like said it when I first moved here. I mean, it hasn't been that long. It's been 5 months, but I had this new girl energy. And if I could bottle it up and sell it, like people were just so attracted to it. It is that energy.
It's that energy.
I think it's what we were saying where you go to the bar and you don't look at your phone. Because when you're traveling, you're not sitting at the – you're not on your phone when you're traveling, really. Like you take the pictures and then you're done and you're meeting people. It's that energy.
Well, you're curious and you're looking around and you've never been there and you're just investigating and you don't really have an agenda and you don't really have a desperation and all of those things. Like you're also present in the moment. So I think like to kind of yes and, but also take a slightly left turn from what she's saying. It's like, yeah, focus on the new girl energy or that vacation vibe. Like that's what you should lean into as opposed to trying to import a boyfriend because that might not be realistic for everybody.
Yeah, I think that is what she was probably alluding to, but it didn't land because a friend of mine was like, that's really bad advice. And I was like, oh, I can see that. Okay. Also something that I don't think this originated with her, but maybe it did. If he wanted to, he would. She says it a lot.
Oh yeah. She didn't create that.
I don't think she created it, but I asked straight men. I asked three straight men on Saturday, do you know what this means? And they were like, no, straight men don't know what it means. So they're fully unaware that we're out here saying it. Do you think that if he wanted to, he would?
No, I don't. I think that I've wanted to do a lot of things and I haven't.
Wow.
I mean, I get where it originates. And yes, I think that a certain type of man makes things happen for sure. But hashtag not all men. But I think it's a generalization to say that. I also think timing is everything. I mean, I have a friend who is in a really incredible marriage, right? And the first time they dated, it didn't work out. Obviously, he wanted to because he did, but it didn't work. And then it worked the second time. And now they have two kids and they're great. And it's one of those relationships that I like look to and I'm like, this is amazing. But if he wanted to, he would. Definitely wasn't like that failed there. I think also like it depends like what kind of job does this person have? You know, I think about my sister who is an ER nurse. Like, there are certain things that are like dictated about her life. Like, she is on call and so are the men that she works with. You know, if she gets a emergency, she has to go in. I mean, that's also like very much my dad. I think that's like police officers. I think, I don't know, do they have kids? Because if you're dating a guy that has a kid, then like that's also like another added layer. And I think, like, to me, I listen to that and I just go, it's effort. Watch what they do, not what they say.
I think where it makes sense is showing interest. So if they wanted to show interest, they would.
Yes.
It's that.
Effort, interest. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like they'll make time to tell you, I'm really busy. Like, you know, like it's going to be really tough, but they will hop on the phone and they'll do that. You know what I mean?
Yes. Going out of their way to make you feel secure, but within reason, because not everybody has had the girlfriend that has trained them. Not everybody knows what you need, right? So your effort or your interest is going to be different than what my effort and my interest is. But yes, I do think if he wanted to, he would, applies in that sense. But it's getting like, it's getting used in a lot of situations where I'm like, well, that just feels unfair.
I know. I think there is now a little bit of tension between women wanting to be courted and feeling like men should be making a lot of effort, and women feeling resentful if men don't meet that standard, and then men feeling like, what can I possibly do right? So it is this big push and pull, I think, that's happening right now.
I do too. Yeah. I mean, I also have no problem, like, but that's like, I kind of said, like, I don't mind being the vulnerable one. I don't mind being the one that puts myself out there a little bit more, even if it means I'm going to get rejected, because who cares? I know I'll bounce back from rejection. So if it makes things easier or it alleviates, then like, yeah, this is a team effort. I don't know why we think that relationships aren't like a team sport. They are.
I know. And it's almost like, okay, you put yourself out there and you didn't get kind of the response you wanted, or you see they're not interested in you or whatever. You got your answer quicker. Great.
Yeah. Fail fast. And now pull in Aaliyah, get yourself up.
That's such a good one. Oh my God. I don't know if my Gen Z, I have most millennial listeners, but I don't know if Gen Z would know that reference.
I know. As I said it, I was like, I'm old.
Yeah. I feel like you have thoughts about this one. You have to love yourself in order to love someone else.
Yeah, I actually do believe that. I mean, like, well, okay. I think you can love someone if you don't love yourself. I just think that it's never going to be as deep or as whole or as stable as if you do. I think when you compare the two, like I've compared and go back and I can think about myself at my worst, most insecure, just rockiest, lowest point, and think of that relationship. And it was like, no, I felt those feelings. Like I did think that I loved this person. But then if I kind of take it out and hold it side by side next to like a relationship when I felt really grounded and my self-worth was high and all of that, it's just, it's like apples and oranges. I also think, like, you know, it's so much easier to navigate dating and being single when you love yourself, because I really think that if it's so hard to express your needs, which is like how you hold yourself to certain standards, right? It's by not accepting less than what you want or what you deserve. And how do you do that? It's in A, showing people, you teach people how to treat you. And part of that's also expressing things like, oh, hey, actually, when you did that, I didn't love that. Or that hurt my feelings. Or actually, if we're going to move forward, like it would be great if you could communicate this way. Or I feel uneasy when this happens. Those are all things that are really hard to say if you don't feel really confident. And I think part of being confident is knowing that you will walk away. Like knowing I am a catch, I am amazing, and I am not going to settle for less than what I deserve. And that's not coming from like a ego perspective. That's coming from like a, no, I believe in myself. And I know that when I choose to love somebody, it's going to be amazing. I'm going to enrich their life. So I'm not going to settle for something just because it's there. And because I don't want to be single anymore, you know, I'm going to hold out for something that I feel like enriches my life in a way that I'm going to enrich theirs.
Yeah. You know what my gauge has started to become? I'm like, does this situation feel like me eating a pint of ice cream on the couch? Or does this feel good? You know, is this like nourishing me? Because I feel like I've been in a lot of the situations where I'm eating the ice cream on the couch and I feel good in the moment. But then I'm like, why'd I do that? I don't know. That.
And then an hour later, you're like, wait, I'm lactose intolerant. What am I doing? Ruh-roh.
Totally. Totally. So it's having that baseline in order to figure that out.
Yeah. But if you walk into a party and you don't know anyone, you don't know anyone, and then something happens that is incongruent with your values, are you more likely or less likely to stand up against an entire room of people? You're probably less likely. But if you feel really strong and you're like, no, I have conviction and I feel like solid in my values and who I am, I don't care if it's one person or if it's 200 people, like I'm going to do the right thing or I'm going to stand up for what I believe in. Like, I think that that's sort of what we're talking about. And dating can feel like that room of 200 people.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And it is then so imperative that you figure out what your values are and who you are in order to feel very aligned when you go on a date and you are asked those questions. Do you want children? You know, how do you see your life going? Do you want to be monogamous? Like,
you got to answer for you, not the answer you think this person's going to want to hear.
Totally, because you want to be chosen. That's such a good analogy. I love that. That's great.
And also, like, when you say the answer because you want to be chosen, the only person who knows that you've betrayed yourself is you. You know that. And what you have subliminally communicated to yourself is that you don't believe in yourself. And that is how you chip away at self-worth. And that is how you chip away at self-confidence. And there is no greater hurt than the hurt you do to yourself.
Yeah. God, that is such good advice. I'm so glad that you said this on the episode because that is such a good takeaway. And it is a good takeaway for me too. My last question to you was going to be something that you ask all your guests and you asked me, and it kind of left me stumped, if I'm honest. But you ask all your guests what your best dating advice is. Is that it? What is your best dating advice?
Oh my God. I hadn't even really thought about that. I mean, yeah, I think it's a journey and you get to decide if you're going to enjoy that journey or not. Like, your romantic adventures are about enjoying the process. Like, the final destination may or may not work out, but there's only one thing that we know for certain, and it's that it will all end, right? Whether it's till death do us part or it's a breakup of some sort, it will end and we will, unless we die first, like feel a sense of loss. Do you know what I mean? Like, part of being in love is feeling loss and being uncomfortable. And I think the quicker you can get yourself to being uncomfortable, sitting in discomfort and not resisting it, the better off you'll be. I think enjoying the journey is really, really important. And then, yeah, obviously, like, I think of, we focus so much on romantic love, but self-love and platonic love are just as important. And that's one thing that I would say. I mean, obviously I love the statement, like, leave people better than you found them. I also think it's watch what they do, not what they say. You know, that is a huge, like, piece of advice. I just had Jack Garrett on the show and he said, clarity is care. Like, when people leave you in the dark, confusion is not caring for you. Clarity is care. I really do believe in that. I mean, it's kind of like if he wanted to, he would. So yeah, I mean, I think if you're anxious and upset, you have to ask yourself, like, why am I doing this? Like, what am I chasing? Why am I doing this? Is the call coming from inside the house, or is this coming from the person that I supposedly like? Like, the people that we quote unquote love should make us feel good. If it doesn't feel good, why are we doing it?
Yeah. And we have the capacity to make ourselves feel good. So you can get out of that situation so that you can do that for yourself.
Yeah. I also just think, like, owning your pleasure, owning what it is, owning yourself, owning your sexuality is also huge. People don't really talk about that a lot, but I definitely think that's a really important part of at least my journey, like, as a woman, has been owning my pleasure and making sure that I feel good about that in all, like, settings, and communicating and not being afraid to say, like, I'm into this, or I need this, or I want that. And when you can do that, literally and figuratively, like make yourself naked, I do think there's something really powerful about that. So this was the worst answer ever.
No.
Because I didn't have one. I'm like, oh, wow. That is such a brutal thing that I ask everybody.
It's brutal, Rory. Like, honestly, on your podcast, you were like, what's your favorite color? I'm like, what's meant for you won't miss you. And you're like, what's the best dating advice? I'm like, what's meant for you won't miss me, you. And you're like, where do you live? And I'm like, what's meant for you won't miss you. That's all I said, because it's so hard. I just like kept saying these mantras over and over again. It's hard. But I do think that you imparted so much wisdom on this episode. You left me better than you found me, for sure. Like, you totally.
That's going to make me cry.
You totally gave so much good advice. I love it. I am so happy that we connected. I love the podcast for this very reason. Tell everyone where they can connect with you and find you and listen to your amazing podcast.
Well, I think are we dropping at the same time? Next week?
Next week. Yeah. Okay. Amazing.
Okay, great. So you can listen to both of our episodes. We did a swap. Crimes of the Heart is the name of the podcast. It's out wherever you get podcasts, Spotify, Apple, iHeart, wherever. My Instagram is I Could Be Blonder, because I could. And then everything else is just my name, which is Rory Uphold. Uphold, like uphold the law, or uphold your standards.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks for having me. This was fun. I'm sure we'll do it again.
Yeah, we will. Thank you for listening to Pretty Much Done. If you want more information about this episode, you can check our show notes. Go like, subscribe, and leave a review, because it helps us grow the pod. Love you. Thank you. Sorry, did I just love bomb you? I'm not toxic. You are. Okay, bye.